Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. The first series of shows has been a general overview of the big picture of debt in four stages. The pre-debt stage, before we take it on. 2, the comfortable stage of having debt. 3, the slippery slope. And 4, the apparent abyss one can fall into financially. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are its traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. Please get some notebook, paper, and pen for later in the show if you want to take notes. In debt-related news for this week, American and Delta Airlines both reported $1 billion in losses for the second quarter of 2008. The airlines in general are having great difficulties and are struggling financially. In a new report, CNN is reporting that credit card issuers have started scanning and coding credit card purchases to try and identify customers in financial distress. They are coding such purchases as the purchase of gas, payment of second mortgages, bills like medical bills, etc. The banks are then using these codes to reduce credit lines and trigger universal default to raise the interest rates. In an interesting article and some positive news, Senator Durbin introduced a bill to crack down on excessive interest rates. This legislation would cap interest rates for all consumer credit transactions. Dick Durbin is a Democrat from Illinois, and he has introduced the Protecting Consumers from Unreasonable Credit Rate Act, a bill to eliminate the excessive rates that some consumers are charged for payday loans, car title loans, and other types of credit. Quote, within blocks of my home in Springfield, Illinois, there are payday lenders charging interest rates of 200 and 300% of the value of the loan, Durbin said. These excessive rates are often hidden and can have crippling effects on those individuals who can afford it least. Congress must enact protections against predatory lending. America's working families depend on it. End quote. Durbin's bill would establish a federal usury cap of 36% APR on all consumer credit transactions. That rate is similar to the usury cap already enacted in many states and is the same as the cap already in place for military personnel and their families. While 36% may sound high, and it is, many loans have hidden fees and variable rates that also dramatically add costs. The Chicago Tribune recently reported the story of a 66-year-old Rosa Mobley who lives on Social Security and a small pension. Miss Mobley took out a car title loan of $1,000 and was charged 300% interest. She wound up paying more than $4,000 over 28 months and is struggling to get by. Under Durbin's legislation, the most Ms. Mobley would have paid was $60 in interest per month, or $1,680 for 28 months. Efforts to address the exorbitant interest rates charged on many payday loans have often failed because of the difficulty in defining predatory lending. Durbin's bill seeks to overcome this problem by setting a relatively high interest rate as the cap and applying the cap to all credit transactions. From the debtor's attorney's point of view, this is a very positive and giant step in the whole attempt by the consumer advocate attorneys to help debtors. Specifically, the bill establishes a maximum interest rate of 36% on all consumer credit transactions, taking into account all interest, fees, defaults, and other finance charges, which are hidden. It clarifies that this cap does not preempt any stricter state laws. It applies civil penalties for violations, including nullification of excess charges, fines, and even prison. It empowers attorneys general to take action for up to 3 years after a violation. This is the most recent in a series of bills Durbin has introduced to help America's working families cope with increased economic hardship. In the last 7 years, Americans have seen their average wages decrease while the cost of food, health care, gas, and mortgages have skyrocketed. As a result, many American families are falling far into debt and are struggling financially. And as an aside, other bills aimed at lessening the burden on American families, which Durbin has introduced, include the Helping Families Save Their Home in Bankruptcy Act to help homeowners facing foreclosure, the Increasing Transparency and Accountability in Oil Prices Act to curb the effects of speculation in the oil market and how that plays on the cost of gasoline, the Small Business Health Options Program, or SHOP, making health insurance more affordable and predictable, accessible for small businesses and self-employed people, and the National Guard and Reservist Debt Relief Act to aid National Guard and Reserve members who are struggling financially to receive bankruptcy assistance upon returning from overseas deployment. So these are some very good, positive things from Senator Durbin. In an interesting article, Countrywide has settled lending suit in Pennsylvania. Countrywide Home Loans has agreed to pay $325,000 to the Chapter 13 bankruptcy trustees in Pittsburgh, settling a matter that accused the lender of abusive practices in almost 300 mortgage loans overseen by the court. The settlement, which has been filed with the court and must be approved by the federal judge overseeing it, arose out of motions filed last October by Rhonda Winokur, the Chapter 13 trustee for the Western District of Pennsylvania, saying that the company had lost or destroyed more than $500,000 in checks paid by homeowners in foreclosures from December 2005 to April 2007. Ms. Winokur asked the bankruptcy court to impose sanctions against Countrywide, the nation's largest servicer. Ms. Winokur said she was concerned that Countrywide had been charging borrowers late fees and legal costs, even though it was responsible for misplacing or destroying their checks. Quote, "The integrity of the bankruptcy process is threatened when a single creditor dishonors its obligations to provide a truthful and accurate account of the funds it has received," Ms. Winokur said in requesting sanctions. Countrywide, which was acquired by Bank of America this month, disputed Ms. Winokur's allegations about the lost checks, saying the company had no record of having received the payments, which the trustee said had been sent. But on June 18th, Countrywide settled the case with her office. Neither the bankruptcy trustee's office nor Bank of America commented on the case, but under the terms of the settlement, Countrywide will pay the trustee's office $325,000 to cover its cost of prosecuting the troubled borrower's cases. The settlement also requires Countrywide to reconcile the amounts it contended the roughly 300 borrowers owed with the figures Ms. Winokur's office has compiled. If there are any discrepancies, Countrywide will either adjust its records to be consistent with the trustees or provide evidence showing why Ms. Winokur's numbers are inaccurate, the settlement states. Questionable practices by loan servicers have been under investigation by the Office of the United States Trustee, a division of the Justice Department that monitors the bankruptcy system, since October. It said that it would move against mortgage servicing companies that file false or inaccurate claims, assess unreasonable fees, or fail to account properly for loan payments after a bankruptcy has been discharged. As more borrowers enter foreclosure, The fees charged by loan servicers during the process are coming under increased scrutiny. Countrywide generated $285 million in late fees last year, up 20% from 2005. Late fees accounted for 7.5% of Countrywide's servicing revenue last year. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. Now I'd like to continue with today's show on taking control of your situation, your financial situation, your debt situation by creating balance by yourself and for yourself with both a short and long-term plan and strategy. We've been going over for many weeks now. We're working on being in the comfortable stage of having debt and getting there if we're not. And again, I would like to give credit to Elizabeth Warren, professor from Harvard, and her daughter Amelia Warren Tyagi, two of America's leading champions for debtors, as many of the thoughts, ideas, and examples used in these presentations are based on the work, theories, and books of Professor Warren and her daughter. I also recommend their books, All Your Worth and The Two Income Trap. We'll recap last week's show, the new portion of last week's show. You can also visit the archives of all of my radio shows at www.liptaklaw.com/life and debt. Again, that's www.liptaklaw.com/life and debt. We've been discussing the bare necessities value of our formula for a life-term plan. We want to have our bare necessities down to 50% of our disposable monthly income. And we've been analyzing some ways, looking at some ways to try to get that down to 50% if it's not there. And some points we had made were we still can't make the bare necessities with roommates or boarders or higher paying job, reduced insurance costs, refinancing the house or cars. Then what we said, well, if we've come to that juncture, maybe it is time to consider moving. If you are living in a home that you are paying your mortgage on and it's too much and you really can't afford it, foreclosures have been astronomical in the millions, and you want a life of prosperity and should not be a part of the foreclosure statistics. So you need to move to a more affordable place. And the timing is important with this. If there are no prospects for great improvement in your bare necessities percentage in the next year, like getting a new job, or you're going to be moving anyway because you're getting married. However, if you have a stable job, stable relationship, no plans on leaving the city, then if you can't meet your bare necessities, moving may really be your best option, and you have to face it and be honest about it. You need to find a place you can live safely that suits your desires within reason, which is, of course, less expensive. In the current market, selling the house is not an easy thing, and your home's value may have declined. And with real estate agents, you can have an added expense. Plus, the people buying your house are looking in the face of adversity with adjustable rate mortgages. The prime rate is going to be going up undoubtedly, and balloon payments on those mortgages. So it's not an easy concept to be moving houses. Although I hear in Fairfield it's still working pretty well. But there are other options. You may be able to consider a temporary move to a lower cost rental for you while renting your house in order to pay your mortgage. That's a solution. In fact, in some cases you may be able to pocket a little bit more if you can rent it for more than the mortgage cost. And of course, once you catch up on your bills or your circumstances change, you can move back in. One caveat is make sure your kids' schooling is properly covered, Do you have children? That's a very important issue for most people. And as I said, we don't generally rely on, for example, real estate agents' information about school requirements. We go to the school district, we call them about those things that are most important to us, open enrollment, continuing enrollment after a move, that kind of thing. So we want to get the facts right from the source when it comes to our kids. A little bit more extreme for many people, but another realistic option is to move in with your family, your parents, brother, sister, whomever, if they have space, can help you get back on your feet. This can be a financial benefit to both them and you if you recognize how much they are providing you and you show your appreciation. There's benefits on many, many levels. And most families, particularly here in Iowa, are very quick to be close-knit in my experience as a bankruptcy attorney. An important point is to make sure that you set a timetable if you do any of this to get back into your own place. This is not for forever. It is a temporary thing, and circumstances can change and will change, and you can move, but have a deadline point that you're looking at. And that was really the last point about your bare necessities. Look at your total bare necessities expenses before cuts. You take away any of the items you have saved on due to the suggestions we have made in the show, and you get a new bottom line for your bare necessities. And hopefully it is 50% or below of your disposable monthly income. However, it may not be. But if you actually are able to do some or all of the things suggested here, we think it should be that you will be at 50% of your disposable monthly income. Now, it's also, as I said in the past, okay to go higher sometimes than 50% because of unusual circumstances that are usually temporary and hopefully temporary. A new child comes into the home, there's a serious illness, a person is returning to school in the family, that's only going to be for a limited period of time, a job is lost, that hopefully is only for a limited period of time, or we're starting a new business. All of these things are temporary, so it's okay to let the money get a little out of balance for a while. But if everything else is normal and still not making the 50% level, then that's the red flag. We have to look carefully at the financial realities and be honest. Now, there's certain things that aren't temporary in terms of the finances. Divorce, a continuing job situation, expensive mortgage and big health bills, which aren't temporary. So those should not be considered as allowing us to be over the 50%. If the circumstances are putting you out of balance and you have built a safety net from long-range planning, then that's okay too. The savings part of the formula can kick in, so you have some savings there. You can scrimp on your wants from the formula, the vacations, the new clothes, etc., and put more money into your bare necessities or more money into your savings if you have these temporary setbacks and expenses. And as we said, you need to set a timeline goal for the bare necessities to be in balance. You have to have a clear endpoint in mind. Make it concrete, even if you have to adjust later, but it's something tangible. When that car is going to be paid off, that's a transition point. When the student loan is done, that's a transition point. You can take a full-time job if you're at home once all the kids are in school. That's an ending point there. So those are very critical timeline goals for getting the bare necessities to where we want them to be in terms of the percentage. And as we mentioned, that once the bare necessities are in balance, you can relax and leave it alone for a while, but you should revisit this issue periodically to keep progressing. You have all the tools now to do it if you've listened to these shows, and it won't be so hard for refinancing the house, getting a cheaper car, better job search, etc. You always revisit your bare necessities percentage periodically, and also whenever you change your job, there's a marriage, a birth, or a change of family structure, you move, there's a significant change both up and down in your income, there's a significant change in your expenses, up or down, and before the next major purchase that you make, like a home or a car. In short, you're creating a new way of thinking if you've been following the education in this program about your money. It is simple. Your bare necessities are 50% or not. That's how simple it is. And if yes, you can focus on life and the people and issues in it, and not just money-related issues. You can relax and enjoy more, and this will ultimately help you in all areas of your life, including your financial stability and sanity. If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. So looking at all this idea of increasing your worth, it is a task, it takes effort, and is challenging because you need to wrestle with some very tough choices. But recognize that it is possible. You have options. You pursue the ones that work best for you. You have intelligence. You are creative. And you use that intelligence and creativity to improve your future financially. You may need to create significant change. And with a little bit of intention and effort, it will pay off. And the result of getting your bare necessities or your must-haves in order is a step towards a worry-free future and a wealth creation scenario. I want you to be paying your bills without worry, and that is a standard for quality of life. And if you properly do this, and you get this formula into the active mode of your life, then you will have some money to enjoy, some fun money. You'll be growing in many life-supporting ways and will be happy. It won't you be just about money. It will be about your whole life. So now that we have dealt with your bare necessities, let's look at having some fun. How you define fun is personal, but that you have some resources to have fun is a universal theme and, in fact, need. You need to enjoy life and to be happy and to have some fun. In this formula, we are looking at a long-term lifetime plan of balancing your money for life and enjoying all along the way, not just way off in the distance at retirement in the future in some very abstract way. We want you to enjoy now. And it is a basic principle that if you don't have enough money for some fun right here, right now, then you really can't afford the rest of your life. You have to go back and do the whole bare necessities idea and get that ingrained and active in your life. We're looking at building wealth and having fun and having money to have fun to enjoy. These go hand in hand on the path to a successful financial life when taken holistically with everything else that is important to a human being, the intellect, the emotions, the relationships, and one's spirit. Looking carefully at the wants area, just analyzing it, we want to control your wants spending. But this is done very differently than controlling your bare necessities spending. In this area, we're not concerned about what you spend your money on, as with bare necessities, but how you spend your money, because your definition of wants is very personal. But how you spend your money is something that is universal. And there are two main points that we will be covering throughout this area. The first point is that you have to set a clear limit. How much money is available for fun? And we will look at that. And the second main point is to shift to a cash transaction basis. Those are the two main points in the area of wants. With setting a clear limit, we want to see how much money is available for fun. This is the relaxed area of spending. There's freedom here because if properly understood by knowing and using the formula, then we won't have to worry about wants and how to spend that money. What we need to go back and think about is all of your bare necessities is an amount of money that you need every month plus the 20% of your disposable monthly income for your savings. Those are very basic, important, critical amounts that go into the calculation, into the formula. And once you have those two things, the bare necessities and the 20% for your savings, that number would be subtracted from your disposable monthly income, and that creates the bottom line for wants, to spend as you desire. No one will be there saying you need to spend it on this or you need to spend it on that, or that little conscience in your brain or on your shoulder giving you some lecture about that latte or going to that movie or a nicer restaurant that you might want to go to. Those kinds of things will not be part of this equation once you know how much you can spend. That's very, very important. Once there, you define the fun. You define what you want to do and you enjoy. And that's the value of having this category. It creates a total amount of balance in the economic requirements for a life and a personality, a psychology. So this is really, really critical here in the near future and in the distant future for all things, including your health. And it is a true side effect that spending is the most fun when you know you can afford it, when you know you can go to that ball game as a recreational luxury item, or buy that new dress because you have some cash to do it. It's a very delightful thing. And this is a good way to approach your money in the fun area, in the wants area. Just naturally and innocently pursuing those wants, but having the cash reserve to do it. And that is not the retirement savings reserve, but the wants category reserve. And next week we will look a little bit more at setting limits and shifting to cash. And the final tip for the week is, if you have student loans, look at consolidating separate student loans. With a student loan consolidation, you can lock in several loans at a fixed interest rate and have just one lender to pay every month. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.